Wait for that day when our Lord will reign. You guys can get off the stage now. It's mine. Well, this is like the third or fourth Christmas I've been back. It's good to see you guys every time I come back, but one thing I do notice about the world, every time I come back each year, it's a little darker, a little more crazy, isn't it? Towards the end, people will not care about God. Even inside the church, many, their love will grow cold. It's a sad thing. But it's good to see all of you guys here this morning. And you guys are so generous. You know, the people of Reading are generous. I don't know how many of you, as I walked up to people, they're just handing me their wallets. Yeah. I appreciate all those wallets you handed to me and a few purses. And I'm sorry for the lady that almost gave a heart attack to you back there. So. But I'm glad to be here. My name is John the Baptist, and your friendly little pastor there gave me his word box here, so it's a pretty cool thing to use. So I'm going to see if I remember how to use this thing he showed me. Keep my notes on it instead of animal skin. Yeah, this is so much easier. Well, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's what I've been known for. It was my purpose. That was my purpose in life. Who gave me that purpose? What event in my life gave me purpose? You know, a lot of people say I was born for something such. I've heard people say they were born to be athletes. They were born to be this. Born to sing. You see, they're seeing in themselves their birth and it had meaning to it. And that's a nice thought, isn't it? I like to think our birth had some sort of meaning. But you know what? My birth was 6 months before that birth. Which birth gives me meaning and purpose? That one. That one. My life was defined by that birth. And all of humanity's lives, their purpose, are defined in that birth. It's unique. The only baby born that defines everybody. I hear there's a baby over here, John and Jacqueline, baby Luke. Now, let me ask you a question here. Did the birth of baby Luke give you guys purpose and meaning? No? Aren't you a mommy now? Yeah, I know Pastor Heath always sets you guys up with trick questions, but I'm not him. Your purpose has changed in this life, hasn't it? You guys have become parents. You have a purpose to raise that child in a godly way. Right. But, did the birth of baby Luke affect you there, Rich? Not really. Hasn't changed your purpose, has it? But this birth, that birth is different. It's unique. It defines us. Many in the world don't understand their purpose today. Outside the church, maybe even inside the church. They're trying to find it outside of the birth of Christ. But my purpose was found in Him. As I begin this morning, what I was going to talk to you guys about, I want to give you this question to think about. What is your purpose in this life? You were created for a purpose. Do you know that? Everything that's in existence has a purpose. This was created. Do you know what the purpose is, Rich? This candle has a purpose. This podium has a purpose. 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 Everything you see has a purpose, including you. And that's why the world is so desperate to hold on to crazy theories that said you came from nothing, that you didn't have a creator. Natural forces, random mutations and natural selection created you over long periods of time. And you just are animals. You have no creator, so you have no purpose. So then you can do whatever you want to do. But when you realize that God created all things and all things have a purpose, then that changes everything. So what is your purpose this morning? What is the purpose the Creator has given you? Maybe you can find your purpose in looking at my purpose. There's not much written about me in the Bible, but I want to share what's written about me this morning. My purpose. And maybe in it, you can find your purpose. I should show you Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. That would be me. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm better than all those in the Old Testament? I'm greater than Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah. Those guys have whole books. I don't have a book in the Bible. What does it mean there's not been one risen greater than me? I was chosen to be the forerunner. Not because I was great. I was just chosen. Those prophets foretold of the coming of Messiah. But I was given the honor of declaring Him to the world. Who He was. Who He is. It's my unique place to be that forerunner, that voice, calling people to Jesus, preparing them for the Lord, for the Lamb of God who would take away their sins. Yeah. Those other prophets had foretold, but I was given the honor of declaring what they had prophesied to the people. And here He is. But look at this. But He who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Me. So I'm considered the greatest of the Old Testament. But the least of you is greater than me. Now what does that mean? Are you better than me? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll see you after the service. No. Did I get to see Jesus crucified? Did I really understand that? No. Did I see Him resurrect? Was I able to be part of the church? A unique, special group of people, sealed with the Holy Spirit, all born again. That's never happened before. And as I was the forerunner to announce Jesus, and I was isolated there in Israel, the church, you, are to go around the world. You see, I think our purposes are slowly coming together. They're linked. You can be greater than me. You can be greater than the position I had as the forerunner. You now can proclaim. You have the unique honor and privilege of testifying of who Jesus is, what He did, the resurrection, the power of the gospel, salvation to all. You also can proclaim. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist, that would be me, came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one who is spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make His paths straight. That was my message. That was my purpose. Repent. Turn from sin. Turn from pride. Turn from self-righteousness. Turn from self. You see, for us to receive the Lord, we must repent. We must turn from our lives of failure. What do you mean, lives of failure? Many would say, I'm not a failure. I've been successful in my life. I'm educated. I have great wealth, great fame, maybe great power. I'm not a failure. Let me be very clear this morning. Every human being who's ever existed from the beginning has failed. We have failed our purpose. We have fallen short of what we were created to be. And though in this world you might have, by the standards of this world, you might be successful, but in the end, a man can gain the whole world but lose his soul. You brought nothing into this world and weren't taught taking anything out. You see, you have to be humble to realize we're failures. Failures for what we were created to be. The first part of turning from that is being humble enough to repent. That's why people came to be baptized by me. Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. You should try it sometime. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now, the baptism didn't remove their sin. A lot of people today think that being baptized back there might remove your sin. It doesn't. It didn't in my day, and it doesn't today. But here, mine, it was before coming to Christ. Why? The people needed to prepare their hearts. What do you have to do to receive the Lord? You must repent. You must acknowledge your sin. Your failure as a human being. You need Jesus Christ. The people knew they were sinners. They were coming to get their mind and their heart right, to receive the truth that was coming. The truth of the Messiah. The Lamb of God. Jesus Christ. But look at this. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, oh, come on, God loves you. Did I say that? No. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. A lot of people say that's not very nice, John. It's not politically correct. It's insensitive. It's intolerant. Yes, yes it is. That's who I am. That's who God is. You're either with God or you're against God. There is no in between. And there is no fooling God. Pharisees and Sadducees are religious types. Oh, they look good on the outside. But on the inside, they're filled with dead man's bones. They're whitewashed tombs. Religious types. I had them in my day. You have them in your day. If you have, you might even have some brood of vipers in here. You point them out, I'll deal with them. Going to point anybody out? Why are they all pointing at you? Nah, that's Floyd. I know he's a good guy. But I was kind of hoping I'd hit somebody. Nobody? Well, that's good. No religious types. That's good. It's one thing you don't want to be because it blinds you. Gives you a false sense of security. And in the last day, you'll say, "Lord, Lord." And He'll look at you and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Verse 8. "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." See, repentance opens up your life. It opens up your heart and your mind to be filled with the Lord, with His Spirit. Fruits worthy of repentance is humbleness. It's letting go of any pride. And it's laying your life down to be directed by God for the purpose He gave you. Oh, a lot of times people want to come for salvation, for eternal life, and that's definitely offered to people. But if you really understand yourself and what Christ has done for you, if you really understand who created you and what life is all about, it's also laying your life down as a living sacrifice. It's also saying, "My purpose is found in you. What do you want me to do?" Fruits worthy of repentance. "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." A lot of people think their heritage. A lot of Americans in your country, they're Christian just because they're Americans. Does that make you Christian? No. You must be born again. And it doesn't matter if you're American, Russian, Ukrainian, Brazil, wherever you're from. It doesn't matter. You're all one in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, red. Doesn't matter. You're all one in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. All one in Christ. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire." But you must understand, the only good in this world is from Him. The axe is laid. The judgment of God is ready. It abides on sinners and for all have sinned. And until you are born again and relieved of the burden of sin, the wrath of God abides on you. The axe is at the root of the tree of your life, ready to cut it. "Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him." There are many today who say they believe in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, how do you know someone really believes or not? Because when they truly believe, their life changes. They no longer want sin. They'll still sin. They no longer want to practice it and live in it. They don't want to be around it anymore. So that's one change. And then the second change is they want to be obedient to the Word of God. And then they want to be the church. They want to be in church. Because they are the church. It's not about attending church. It's about becoming the church. The special group of people who have a purpose from their Creator, from their Savior. A lot of people claim belief, but they don't want any of those things. Really, you can't tell they're much different than those out in the world who don't believe. He who believes has everlasting life. Those who say they believe but do not, and there are many like that, shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on them for their sin, for their failure as human beings. I think maybe I screwed up one of the slides. Go to the next slide. No, it's okay. It's a repeat, but even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Maybe it's in there for a reason. Maybe it got doubled for a reason. Somebody needs to listen to that this morning. Go to the next slide. Galatians 5, chapter 22. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is what a true believer will start to show. When the Holy Spirit comes in, those who truly believe and are born again, the Holy Spirit will start to produce these things in you. Those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. See, there's a difference. It's part of our purpose. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Let me close here. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is what I said. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The one coming after me, whose birth gave my life purpose and meaning, whose life was given for mine. He will baptize you in one of two ways. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is what he talked about in John chapter 3 about being born again by the Spirit of God. Salvation. Where a sinner finally repents of their sins, their failure as a human being, their wretched condition before a holy God. And they call out for mercy. And God shows them mercy and grace. And they receive the Holy Spirit of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're born again. You can be baptized with that. Or you can be baptized with fire. Now this verse has been greatly taken out of context in churches around the world. This fire is talked about as the Holy Spirit or extra power and signs and wonders and miracles and all sorts of crazy stuff. But if you leave the verse in context, fire is very clearly what it is. Next verse. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He'll gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Judgment. You can be saved, or you can be judged. The two baptisms of Jesus Christ. I am John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The lone voice at the moment. My time, I was the only voice. It was difficult. It was hard. Many of you may feel very alone today in the world you live. You may feel alone at work, school, maybe even in your own family. Trying to tell others about Jesus Christ. It may be very difficult. And I understand that. I do. To introduce people to Jesus, especially in the world you live in today, it's not an easy calling. But the need is the same. People are still dying each day and going to hell. I was the lone voice in my generation. You are the voice today. You still read about me. You know about me. Because my voice was used for the purpose God gave it to me. My life is obedient to the purpose God gave me. He's calling you to do the same. People today still need a Savior. They still need to be born again. They need to understand that there is a purpose to life. Do you know what the leading cause in your country today of teenagers, of young adults? Do you know what the number one cause is today in them dying? Suicide. Why does someone commit suicide? They have no hope. They have no hope because they have no purpose and meaning. Life. Senseless. That's what they've been taught. That's the farthest thing from the truth. That's the number one cause of the young generations in your country. What has happened? Voices have been quiet. People need to know there's hope, folks. People need to know why the baby born in Bethlehem has meaning and purpose to their lives. Not every birth does, only one. All of human history gives every human being a purpose. Meaning. Don't forget to tell them. Because Jesus said it Himself in John chapter 3, verse 3. Most assuredly I say to him, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, being saved. To be born again, you must repent. You must turn from your sin. You must put your faith in the baby born in Bethlehem who grew up to be Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died for the sins of the world, for their sins. They need to understand their sin separates them from God. It makes them a complete failure from who they were created to be. And the only way is to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Call out to Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen, brother. I had faith. I looked forward to the Messiah. Now you guys have faith looking back to the Messiah. It's the same faith. But you guys are unique. Greater than I. You've been given so much more. You have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You have the complete Word of God in your hands. And you have a church. It may be lonely at work as a believer. It may be lonely at school. It may even be lonely in your home. But here, where many people neglect to understand what this is all about, where many forsake the assembling together, you come together. Encourage one another. Love one another. Work together. And be a voice. One united voice here and many voices out there. Because you're going to tell people about the baby. You're going to tell them why He came so they too can be born again, forgiven of all their sins, forgiven of their failure as a human being, and established as a child of God, forgiven, redeemed. What was failing, what was worthless, now you've been redeemed, you have value, you have purpose, you have meaning. And now you are the voice. But it all came down to the baby that was born in Bethlehem, born to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice for you and I. And that's why today I would be honored to celebrate communion with you. The Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. That's what that table represents. That is our salvation. That is the cost of us being redeemed, made worthy. No longer failures. No longer wretches. No longer having the wrath of God abide on us. But we have been redeemed. Restored. Children of God. That's what that table represents. But it cost Jesus everything. And we want to remember that. We want to honor that sacrifice. So prepare your hearts, people, for do not receive this in an unworthy manner. You have sin in your life. You have something. Maybe you and the wife argued last night and you don't have that aired out yet. Don't come here with sin or with unforgiveness in your heart, anger, hate even. Don't come here not acknowledging you're still a sinner even though you've been saved and that you need that grace every day of your life. Don't take this in a vain way. This is serious. This is remembering. This is what gave us purpose and meaning. If I could have the ushers come. I'll try not to get any of my hair in it. We'll pass them out together and then we'll take it all together.
Amazing grace, sweet the sound, amazing love, now flowing down.
Thank you, gentlemen. I know it is your custom to put a wafer off to the side, an extra cup, to represent those who have not yet come to Christ, but you by faith and by service to God are hoping and praying will. And one day they'll be here with you. Because that's what the church is all about. That's what the church is about. The Great Commission. Making disciples. And it all begins with the reason we do it. Because Jesus laid his life down for us. God became a man and dwelt among us. He put on the shame of a sinner and died in our place. He was mocked. He was ridiculed, but he did not defend himself. He was innocent of all the charges. He was innocent. And he could have called 12 legions of angels down to defend him. But he loved us. He gave his life for us, for you, so we could be redeemed. Because in our failure, we had no value anymore. In our sin and rebellion, we were worthless as human beings. This gives us value only in Him. This is His body, which is broken for you, which was battered and bruised for you, beaten, spit upon, whipped, pierced, stabbed, thorns pushed into. Eat and remember Him. This is the cup. This is His blood. The blood of the new covenant. The blood that was shed. The precious blood that was shed of the Lamb of God. And removes, purifies, cleanses us, redeems us from all our filth, from all our failure. Drink and remember Him. Team, come on up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we understand that Jesus came with a purpose. The baby born in Bethlehem, it affects all of our lives, whether we people believe in Him or not. Lord, the baby born in Bethlehem sets your scriptures to life. Your prophecies came to life. God became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Emmanuel, God with us, and He walked in our shoes. With the flesh, He experienced everything that we experience. All the pain, sufferings, fears, sin. But He did it without sin. He withstood the temptations because He remained who He was, God in human flesh. He emptied Himself of His dignity and took upon Himself the shame and the failure of humanity. And for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And now, through the resurrection has sat down at the right hand of the Father because He defeated sin and He defeated death. And now we can put our faith in Him. He came with a purpose and He fulfilled His purpose. And because He came, we can have purpose. And we do. The question is, will we find our purpose and will we fulfill our purpose? As human beings, will we do what we were created to do? And I pray for the people, Lord, that they will. First, they'll repent and be born again. And then they will be the voice. Even if they're a lone voice, they'll be the voice declaring the truth about Jesus. I pray this, Lord, in Your name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing this last song. Sins would drive the nails in you, that rugged cross. Amen. Amen. It has been my honor to be here with you, to share part of my story, and for me to see yours. You have purpose and meaning. You have value because the Lord has redeemed you. That's all that matters in this life. Take what He has given you. Live for Him. That's where joy is found. That's where the peace is found. Not in this world. This Christmas season, focus on the baby. And tell people about this baby. Invite them to church. Invite them to your center stage ministry. Invite them to the coffee shop. Whatever you have to do, try to get them so they can hear the truth. Or even better, bless you, Wendy. Is that Wendy? Oh, Michaela. You share the truth with them if they won't come. As Spurgeon said, if they're going to go, if they're just focused on going to hell, make them fight us, basically, to get there. Make them have to jump over us. Hold on to their legs. If they're going to go to hell, let's not let one go there unprayed for and unfought for. Fight for them. Be the voice. Last thing I have to say, will you be a voice in the world? I was a voice by the grace of God. The same Spirit that empowered me is the same Spirit that's within you. If I can do it, you can do it. Let's go be a voice. Let's go fulfill your purpose. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.